Our first reading today is from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 4. The Spirit of God, the Master, is on me because God anointed me. He sent me to preach good news to the poor, heal the heartbroken, announce freedom to all captives, pardon all prisoners. God sent me to announce the year of His grace, a celebration of God's destruction of our enemies, and to comfort all who mourn. To care for the needs of all who mourn in Zion, give them bouquets of roses instead of ashes, messages of joy instead of news of doom, a praising heart instead of a languid spirit. Rename them oaks of righteousness, planted by God to display His glory.
Our gospel reading this morning from the gospel according to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. About that time, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. This was the first census when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to travel to his own ancestral hometown to be accounted for. So Joseph went from the Galilean town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem in Judah, David's town, for the census. As a descendant of David, he had to go there. He went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the hostel. Here ends the scripture reading. May God help you and me to really understand and apply God's will to our lives. I think a question that you could expect coming from the pulpit this morning is, how are you preparing for Christmas 2011? And we have quite a bunch of grandparents in our church. So I know many of you have that glad expectation, knowing the kids are coming or they'll soon be here, and you can hear the joy when you speak with people who are getting ready for another beautiful Christmas celebrated with their families. I want to tell you about preparations in our house. Well, I've learned one thing. I've discovered it's a good advice to simply just stay out of the way of a certain grandma who is preparing for the arrival of her kids and her grandkids. It is indeed Christmas time. Two young brothers once visited their grandma, and it was also just a few days before Christmas. And that evening, when it was time to go to bed, they both, as was their custom, knelt down to say their prayers. And suddenly, unexpectedly, the younger one began to pray aloud, almost yelling, "Dear Lord, please ask Santa to bring me a PlayStation, a mountain bike, and a digital camera." His little brother leaned over, poked his brother, and said, "Why are you shouting your prayers? God isn't deaf." "Oh, I know," he replied, "but Grandma is." The Gospel of Luke portrays Jesus as the Savior of the world. Luke tells a birth story of Jesus with interesting, skillful religious undertones. Now, Luke knew that the prophet Micah predicted that the Jewish Messiah would be a descendant of King David, born in Bethlehem. And we must remember that Luke wrote decades after that period. He wrote in Greek, not in the original Aramaic. And it was a time after the earthly life of Jesus. So we must understand that between the lines, he was now seeking to convince the Jews that Jesus was actually the Messiah whom they failed to recognize before. So at this time, Luke wanted to get the message across to the suspicious Jews that Jesus might have grown up in Nazareth, but he was actually born in Bethlehem. And so that would fit in with the Messiah expectation. And Luke included some interesting political undertones by referring to the cruel conquerors of the Jewish state. Of course, we know history. They were the Romans who ruled with an iron fist. So Luke says, about that time, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. A general registration or census in those days, the counting of the people, really meant only one thing. The hated Romans were planning the next tax increase for the already overburdened conquered Jews. So we need to understand that oppression not only came from the state, but also from the church and from the religious leaders of those days. The Sanhedrin issued decrees and proclaimed law after law in order to force obedience from the people. And they worded their religious laws in strict and even threatening ways. Political and religious laws dominated the lives of everyone. If it wasn't the state on your back, it was the church on your back. And Jesus was born at a time of suffering and injustice. Now, strict church and legal rules are seldom effective. We know that. Many churches are trying to make those strict rules only to bring disaster in their own ministry. The truth is that people do not get to know and love God when the church is a legal jungle of laws and decrees and taxation. Also in our times, many followers of Jesus of Nazareth still have to overcome the tendency to strictly rule and to threaten with hell and damnation, to issue biblical decrees condemning people and to retreat into exclusive communities, shutting out all those whom they perceive to be different from their interpretations of who God and Jesus really is. Behind every sacred page of Scripture beats the heart and the true message of a loving God who is still speaking with amazing grace, speaking with unconditional acceptance and a timeless, liberating invitation. Jesus said it this way, "Come to me, you who are heavy laden, burdened, and I will give you rest. I will not punish you. I will not lay heavy laws on your back." Jesus proclaimed that there is a wideness in God's mercy that even you and I cannot define. If you bring it all together, Jesus Christ points the way to the very heart of God. Well, you know, also in our times, there are so plenty of one-sided and opinionated self-appointed rulers, preaching to us, telling us what to watch out for and what not. It was like the husband and the wife sitting together in the office of a marriage counselor. And the husband says, "Well, now that I've told you my side of the story, let me tell you hers." Amidst all the different traditions of Christmas, and there are many across the world, we are once again standing not only at the cradle of a newborn child. Fact is, we are standing at the cradle of our Christian faith. And the story of Jesus, if you read it, and you should read it over and over, has nothing to do with a law or a decree. It's simply a story of the birth of an innocent baby. Centuries have clouded it over. Actual truth is that there are many stories about the birth of Jesus, some of them contradicting one another. We don't know, we cannot see so far in the mist of far away history. But later, we know one thing for sure. This very same child would rise up and proclaim a new humanity, a community, a family of God, a church that teaches not hell and damnation, but that teaches love and forgiveness. This was the major change in those days. The arrival and name of Jesus Christ signified a new approach to history for us. A new approach to the concept of religion. Saying it was no longer a decree. It was an invitation. It was no longer a command, it was community. And at that time, that the worldly ruler issued another hate-filled decree, something else happened. From the hearts and ranks of God's people came this radical change in the history of all mankind. God's presence became visible in a person. And this person was not preaching condemnation. God speak through the gentleness and the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, come to think of it, this makes so much sense, because we know that decrees do not really work. Good marriages, for instance, do not live by law and prophets. They only blossom by compassion, reasonability, commitment, and most of all, by undiluted love. So, through a long career, I think I've had the privilege to counsel hundreds of people who suffered in their marriages, couldn't get along with one another. And one thing that I realized very soon that I needed to let go of, That was by repeating and lecturing them about their marriage vows. Because once when they got that far, it also already signified a failed marriage. You cannot heal a broken relationship by reminding them of a promise they made long ago. When it breaks, it cries out, it yells for compassion, for tenderness, love, and those things, without judgment, becomes the building blocks of sound and lasting marriages. So the question, you've heard many people talk lately about reaching out into our community. That's what we're trying today. If you see the signs outside our church, they're not saying members only. They're saying the community is invited. If you listen to the announcements, there is a spirit in this church of reaching out, bringing them in, inviting them in, making them feel welcome. Current spirit in our church is so inspiring for me personal. It's so easy to be a minister of this church because wherever I go, you get excited people talking about their church, planning about their church, talking about the future, rejoicing in the wonderful blessings that we are already experiencing. So my question would be, what drew you back to church every time when you wondered if it is worth continuing? Let me tell you a little secret that I think every minister, and there are a few here this morning, tell you the same. One thing I often do is I go through the records of our church. We've been working very hard in administration. Why did so-and-so disappear? Where are they? They haven't moved away. Did they discover that they can live without the compassion and the love that this church portrays? Where are they? Where are they? Shall we go after them? Shall we plead with them? Or have they been swallowed in by a new spirit? One that can do without God, can do without Christ, can do without a community of faith, making it on their own. What drew you back to church every time when you wondered if it is worth continuing? Is it not the experience of community or a moment of compassion that we remember? Something to do with a warm-hearted church family, a loving minister of the past. It was beautiful this morning when Bob mentioned the previous minister of this church. They were a long line of them since 1942. A Sunday school class that they can never forget. A youth group that they enjoyed so intensively. Maybe a church project, a mission project. Or maybe just a simple friendship group. Many reasons. But altogether, that is why we will always treasure a true church of Jesus Christ. If they do not recognize us by our love, we have nothing else to offer them. Because God is love. I believe that people seek and expect certain values from their church. And when they are wrestling with the realities of life, and when they hunger for warmth, for acceptance, for love and understanding, they hope to find it every time when they turn into this parking lot. People everywhere are seeking a spiritual home, a place, a company where they can be in the presence of God, in the presence of love, the presence of compassion, community, a feeling of belonging. It's worthwhile to be here. and to reach out to others. People seek a place where help comes in many forms in times of need, distress and pain. Compassion, compassion, never condemnation, kept the Church of Jesus Christ alive through 2,000 years of Christian history. Our beloved Church should always have a huge open invitation and wide open doors to our entire community. And it will only happen, and it's only possible, when the Christ light shines into our own hearts. And here is the message that will make Christmas 2011 the best it can possibly be. Let us draw true light. Let us seek the presence of God in our every celebration. And then on a very personal, private note, by welcoming once again, or maybe for the first time, the Christ light in our own personal hearts, in our lives. Thou Christ, 1,000 times in Bethlehem be born. If he is not born within your heart, your soul is still forlorn. Amen. Let us pray. Powerful, ever-present God, you are God, and we dare not define you by our limited knowledge. We know that we are now in your presence, and we understand that you know us better than we will ever know ourselves. Consumed by our personal aches, pains, and unfaithfulness, we often neglect to practice our faith. We seldom rejoice in the knowledge that you love your creation, your entire creation, our world, your world, and each one of us you love with great faithfulness. O God, we want to sense your presence and pray for the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. Still speaking, God, speak to us now in and through Jesus. Shine into our personal darkness. Surround us with the light of your love. Bring into our lives, Jesus, the light of our world. This we pray, your children, we pray in the name of our Savior. Amen.